Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't want to be a richer man.
All right, everybody. Time to talk a little about changes in the C-suite that are being brought about by the digital revolution. Back with us is Les Berglass. He's founder, chief executive officer at Berglass & Associates. They're an executive search firm. They specialize in retail and the consumer goods areas. Great to have you back on Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, so what changes are you talking about specifically?
Well, I think we have to take a step back and recognize that the digital world has three-dimensionalized retail. And it's not just about adding one channel. It's about completely redefining the landscape. And what you have, and we have to recognize that as powerful as the pure play web-only events have been, the winner, if you could have a winner, in terms of volume, is the brick-and-mortar retailer. So if we go back a year, because that's where the only place we have a celebration of a year's numbers, the top 100 retailers, including classic web sites and classic brick-and-mortar, did about $180 billion. $100 billion of it was done by brick-and-mortar retailers. The $80 billion that was done in pure play, $61 billion of it was Amazon. Mm-hmm. So the winners are the department stores, and the winners is Amazon. So what you have is a complete redefinition of the C-suite in classic brick-and-mortar retailing. So it's
And that demands a different type of executive?
In
huge,
every
right?
position, yeah. And you begin with the CEO. Because historically, and we talk about great merchant leaders, and we still need them. The consumer ultimately shops to buy stuff, not to be in a store or to be on the net. And we're not sublimating.
When you have to have the goods.
You have to have the goods. You have to have the goods, for sure. So I think what you're faced with now is that the new CEO is not... It's not a great violinist turned CEO. This is a true orchestra leader. This is someone who is, it used to be someone who's great at picking product. This is a person who's great at picking people.
What kind of money are these people making?
Yeah, I know.
He's not shy, can you tell?
No.
I mean, should everybody rush out and get a degree in e-commerce and, you know, advanced jelly bean programming language as well as an MBA? I mean, what kind of people are running these companies?
It's, well, the department store is, it's a CEO who understands that the world is changing.
Right.
And embraces it, doesn't just accept it. And that person is worth their weight in gold.
But Les, do you need the people who are actually bringing about the change? I'm thinking of my nieces or, you know, who are coming out of college or in college. Are those going to be really the executives you want running so much of retail, who understand how people are buying
You have to have someone who understands that consumer, but not necessarily has to be that consumer in the executive suite.
Let me ask you, let me just give you an example, somebody. Martha Stewart.
Right.
An icon, if ever there was one, of what has become, you know, a certain version of the American household.
Well-known brand.
Right? Well-known brand. What about someone like a Martha Stewart? Is that the kind? And forget for the moment the thing with Macy's and JCPenney, Target and all that
yeah.
stuff. But as a person that gets it, is that the kind of model?
I think the best model is to look at a company. And the model I would use is Ralph Lauren more than I'd use Martha Stewart, because Martha Stewart ran into trouble and did things that were situational, that redefines who she is and who the company is.
So the brand isn't as good as it used to be, is basically
right,
your point.
Right.
Okay.
And you see a battle in the world of soft goods between Liz Claiborne, between Jones, which was just sold,
right.
between Kelwood that just spun off. And these were multi-branded businesses that literally dissolved. They don't exist anymore. They were sold into pieces. So if you go back 10 years, each one of the four of these were about $5 billion. Ralph Lauren today is the winner at $10 billion, and the others have all been fragmented. Why? Because above all, he's a brand and delivers on the brand promise, and reinvents himself continuously.
It hasn't gotten into trouble.
No. He's had his moments. I mean, there's a company that went public to save itself, but it knows how to contemporize itself. So to answer your question, Pim, did Martha Stewart contemporize herself, or was she situational? Ralph Lauren contemporized himself.
First of all, I got to learn how to say that because I'm told it is
Lauren.
All right. Yeah. Talk a little bit specifically, if you can, about the kinds of new jobs that are being created and the people that are filling these positions.
Yeah. You have two things happening.
You do work for yeah, we he's Ralph Lauren.
Okay. Company's a client. And see, I bought the brand. I said, he's a client.
Right.
See? It works.
Right. We're working with him in the digital space. And we just placed a senior vice president of global marketing for the digital side of their business. And the classic apparel, soft goods retailer would look within the industry. The person we placed came out of Viacom and before that, Disney. And it tells us that they understand, and we hope that all our clients understand, that it's no longer about resume. It's about the skills the person brings to the table. So it's a different filter that you look at people through.
But did Ralph Lauren say, we want somebody who's not in the typical retail space?
No. What they said to us is they described the function, and luckily, and pardon the commercial, it's right. Our interpretation
right.
of that. That has helped us.
Can you explain in less than a billion words, what does the global head of digital marketing at a company do?
That's a good question. It's how do I portray my brand that understand I'm a wholesaler, I'm a retailer, and now I'm a digitized retailer. How do I sell my product over the net and stay in line with every message I've delivered for 40 years? How do I be contemporary, because that's who this audience is, and at the same time protect the heritage of the brand? That's
what would be an example of something like this?
How do I take an English heritage waxed coat
right.
and make it contemporary on the net
mm-hmm.
and sell it to a young person who's in their 30s when that very same person's father is buying it at Bloomingdale's or Barney's.
And is that person also responsible for making sure that when you go to the net and you see whatever the price is, you don't feel, gee, I just paid three times as much for the same thing in the store. How come it's less online?
That's not
more specialized.
Well, I wouldn't look. We all remember the net becoming a retail event by value and price. With Ralph Lauren, that's not the case. What you're doing is you're consistently selling. And this person has to be collaborative with his brothers and sisters in the other channels, making sure that the price of that garment on the net is the exact same price.
But it's part of it is the online experience. I mean, I love shopping online. I love the ease. And maybe I can't touch the goods, but you know, if the experience is kind of a pleasant one and I get all the information I need, I'm pretty happy. Is that kind of a big part of it, whether you're Ralph Lauren or your Target?
Well, I think what you have is you have an ease of a shopping experience that's extraordinary. And a compliment to all those people who have created this universe for us, that they make it easier to shop.
You
don't wait online on the net, right?
And you can easily return or things that. When you look at the retail environment, because you're so closely involved in it, Les, 2014, which are the retailers that you're kind of keeping your eye on? And I know it's hard because a lot of them are your clients.
Yeah, well, I would look for Macy's and Bloomingdale's to continue their victories. I would look to see how Target is going to deal with the problem of the security breach.
That's a big one, right?
Yeah, well, it's a big one. And Target in recent years, one of the things when we look at people and we look for executives who have been at companies that have not only succeeded, but have stumbled. Because if you're just a winner, Ron Johnson being the perfect example of it, mm-hmm. if you're just a winner and you get into a difficult situation, Target has never been in a situation like this. So it's how do I recapture the confidence of my consumer when their consumer had nothing but confidence when they went into that store?
You mentioned confidence. That reminds me, confidence when you're an executive. You were describing a little bit about sort of what happens in public and what happens when you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yes. What we used to refer to, the Nixonian sweat above the lip that every leader experiences at least once a week. I think that when we're screening for executives, regardless of whether it's retail or any other, not that we want to find this, but our experience is that great leaders have a level of insecurity, a significant level of insecurity that they check into, and it drives them to correct their problems. They know how difficult it is to succeed and struggle with that success against the problems that face them every day.
Thanks very much. Les Berglass, founder, chief executive, Berglass & Associates. You're listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.